grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. From the Gospel reading appointed for this Sunday, we want to read, first of all, from John the 9th, and then also from the Epistle of Ephesians 5. As Jesus went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents." And also from the epistle for this Sunday, Ephesians 5, "For you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." My dear brother and sister, the Apostle Paul teaches us that when Christ comes into our life, there is a marked difference. There is a sharp contrast, a stark contrast between the before and the after situation in our life. As children of the light, we decry and expose the works of darkness, the fruitless, the Apostle Paul puts in the adjective, the fruitless works of darkness. We produce good works because we were made to make and do and produce good works. Bathed in the light of Christ, we have no choice but to do good. The light that can be translated into love, into joy, hope, into eternal life. That's the new light that Christ brings into our life. Now, what to do with the coronavirus? There is a fruit of darkness, and after a while, experiencing things that we've never felt before in the greatest country that ever existed, we might be tempted to say, "Where is Christ in all this?" Just to put you at ease off the bat, Christ combated and defeated a virus far deadlier than the corona ever will be. It's called the original sin. That virus did not only affect the flesh, but it destroyed our souls. It killed us inwardly. And Christ defeated it and restored life to us. Jesus heals a blind man here as he is walking through a village. This poor man had nothing going for himself. He couldn't work, he couldn't read, he could not even entertain himself by looking at the birds flying around. Besides that, as if he needed that, he was the victim of a fake stacked against him trial. And who were the judges? The disciples of our Lord. They immediately judged him. They jumped to conclusions and said, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he can see that he was born blind?" And Jesus sternly says to them, "Neither he nor his parents." God used the blind man to show everyone that Jesus is God. Jesus made some mud, applied it to his eyes, and said, "Wash yourself." And he was able to see. Once this poor man had lived in darkness with no clue on how beautiful life could be. And without doing anything to merit healing, Jesus had compassion on him and helped him. We have no compassion going. We have no merit going for ourselves. And Jesus looks at us and has compassion and does everything that is necessary to tear us out of darkness and place us into his light. That's, my friends, that is compassion. Jesus had compassion on him. That man didn't have the American Disabilities Act going for himself, but he had Jesus. You and I may not have the CDC right now going for ourselves, but we have Jesus. Now, you probably would say, well, God created us and promised to take care of us. Luther explains it so beautifully in his explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the first article. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And then he says, what does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason, and all my senses, and still preserves them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and soul. He defends me against all danger. It's been a few months, and the coronavirus is still ruling with authority over the health officials of our world, throughout the whole world. He defends me against all danger, Luther says. But when Luther wrote an article at the time of the bubonic plague that was decimating the cities of Europe, Luther didn't say, God created me, therefore he will maintain me. No, he says, my Lord Jesus died for me. Why would he not give me all the lesser blessings? He goes into the second article, and I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, etc. And then he says, what does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, through God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also through man born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. And he continues, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. There you have it. Jesus redeemed me so that I could live under him in his kingdom in all righteousness and blessedness. So where is the fear of the virus? It does not exist. It is wiped out by our Lord that saved me from the original sin, that gave me eternal life and wants me to work for him right here, not out of a sense of obligation, but out of love. Duty, a debt of love. Not legal, but loving debt to Christ. You and I too once walked in darkness until our parents dragged us to the baptismal font. And there the light was switched on us. And God's promise to be with us always, without ever leaving us or forsaking us, has been a daily presence in our life. The church is an organism, not an organization, though it has to be organized too, and so in a way it is a necessary evil. But the church does not depend on its organization in groups like congregations, with budgets, with the constitution and bylaws and policies and a staff and pews and hymnals and all the things that we nowadays associate with the church. The church is the people. The church is people relating to God in faith. So the church is a conglomerate of individuals, but the essence of the church is the faith between every individual and God. So we relate to God by faith, individually not only in the confines of our congregations, temple, but everywhere we are. Because God is the same yesterday, today, forever. He never changes. And what did he say? Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. And our dear Savior Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are overladen and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. So let us all take our collective burden with all the bad news that we see coming through the media and place it all at the foot of the cross. He blesses us with eternal life. He can certainly solve the problems for the here and now in the present days. We walked once in darkness, and David expressed eloquently when he said, I was born in sin, and in iniquity my mother did conceive me. We are in darkness from the beginning, but from baptism on we live like in the light of Christ. We were brought into the light, not by any merit of our own. We would never deserve this light, but it is God's love that reaches out for us. He created us, and then he recreated us. He created us, in the first article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, and he recreated us in the second, in his Son who died for me. So the coronavirus should not ever make us doubt God's love. This is satanic, diabolic tactics. If you are the children of God, pray to him to take away the virus. God has purposes in all of the things that happen. The Apostle Paul teaches us very clearly and explicitly, in all things, God works for the benefit of those who love him. Not only the things that feel good, but that we like, or that the world perceives as gain, but in all things, God works for the benefit of those who love him. And never forget, we have eternal life to look forward to. If God wants to use us as an example to the world of behavior under duress, of posture in hardship, let him use us as an illustration in his sermon. Having been created by God, we are assured of his divine providence. He will provide for our every need of body and soul. Jesus told the disciples not to worry about the here and now, what to eat, what to dress, because God dresses the lilies of the field and he feeds the birds of the air. And we are worth more than the birds of the air. God sent his only Son to die for us. That is the essence of his love. That is the dimension that we cannot understand. So great it is. That is a far greater sign of God's love than giving us a body and maintaining it healthy. He will not leave us alone to fight COVID-19.